begin. I want to learn today about Shabbos again. Yesterday we spoke about the Aseres HaDibrois. Abraisai? The Ten Commandments. The fourth of the Ten Commandments is Shabbos Kodesh. Zochor es yoim ha-Shabbos li-Kadosh. Yesterday we spoke about this Machlokes Shammai and Hillel, the whole sugya, the person's hashkafa. Today let's discuss some halacha. Some interesting halachas. There are things that are new to me. Some new, some old. Let's first talk about Kiddush. One of the things that we learn about is Zochor es yoim ha-Shabbos. Zochreyu al hayayin. We have an obligation to make Kiddush Friday night on a kois shel yayin. No chamar medina. You cannot make Kiddush Friday night on chamar medina. You can make on chamar medina Shabbos day, but not Shabbos night. Shabbos night is only yayin, and if not yayin, then you can make it on lechem, but only yayin. Here's the question. The question is, do you need real wine for Kiddush, or can you make Kiddush on grape juice? I'm willing to bet almost everyone here in the room uses grape juice, myself included. Do you need anyone here using wine? Mayor, you use wine?
Sure.
You use real wine?
Yeah.
Alcoholic beverage?
Yeah,
mevushel?
Yeah, mostly.
Mostly mevushel. Why don't you use very non mevushel?
Non mevushel? It comes in too big of a bottle. And if you don't use it all up.
By the time the goy touches it, it's already finished.
You know, this grape juice also, it's not yain.
Very right. That's what I want to talk about. So the question over here is, are you allowed to make Kiddush on grape juice? Why not? So there is the part of the discussion is that we shouldn't talk about this is Yayin, the main use of Yayin that we find in the Torah, in fact the only Yayin we find in the Torah is the Yayin that is used for the Nesachim. Wine libations. Every single carbon is accompanied by the pouring of wine on the Mizbeach. Every carbon, every single time you bring an animal as a carbon, you bring a mincha, a meal offering, and you pour wine on the Mizbeach. On the bottom of the Mizbeach, there is a spout where you pour the wine. Where do you pour the wine? On top of the bottom, I forgot already. On the bottom? No, the top.
The two funnels, one water, one wine. On the top.
How much wine? V'nischeim kichsovam shloish for either it's a chatzayahin, a shlishesahin, a reviyesahin. There are three different measurements of how much yayin one pours on the mizbech to accompany a carbon. Now that yayin that you pour on the carbon is very specific halachas. It has to be wine that, number one, is not cooked. Okay, it has to have potential for it to intoxicate. Yayin v'sheichar. Now, does that mean that the wine you pour in the mizbech has to actually be real wine that is already fermented? I don't think so. I don't believe so. It does not.
Did it evaporate under your mizbeach?
It went down. It was a very, very deep. It did evaporate, and it turned into what the Chazal call cakes of wine, like a gel. Okay, it did evaporate, and then every so often they would send down Kohanim all the way deep, deep down into this cavity underneath the Beis HaMikdash where they would clean it out. They would clean out the gel of the evaporated wine. The wine would go, they would pour down a lot of korbanos. They would be pouring wine down the sediment, and they would be pouring down an enormous amount of wine down this tube, and eventually it got clogged up or it was full, and they had to clean it out. And they would do so. But the question is, for Nesachim, one thing is for sure, but Nesachim, it had to be pure wine, with no sulfites, and not cooked. Now today, all the wine that we buy today, it cannot become alcohol. It will not turn into alcohol. The wine that you buy, kedem, grape juice, it cannot become alcohol for two reasons. Number one, it's pasteurized. Okay, the first thing, what? It's mevushel, even grape juice.
Okay.
All grape juice today that is sold in the commercial market, I don't know if all, but probably 95, maybe 99% of all grape juice today that is sold on the market, There are two things that are done to the grape juice, which takes away from it potential for it to ferment and become, turn into alcohol. Number one, it's pasteurized. By pasteurizing the yayin, now there are different techniques in how they pasteurize it and what temperature they pasteurize it, but generally speaking, it's not absolute. Boiling, cooking yayin destroys its potential to turn into alcohol. It's finished. Once you pasteurize grape juice, you can let it sit in a barrel for as long as you want. It will never turn into alcohol. The process of cooking chemically destroys that ability. Now, some will argue that not necessarily. It depends on the temperature. Okay, there are different laws in the government of how of it has to be pasteurized because it's not healthy. It has to kill the, you have to kill the bacteria, and how high the temperature has to go, v'chulu v'chulu. But generally speaking, once you cook yayin, no longer is there potential for it to turn into alcohol. Yes, well, that's part of the question, what temperature? Yeah. You're touching upon many, many issues. Many issues as what is that? Is it called mavushal? So, but one thing is for sure, it cannot turn into alcohol and cannot give you the quality of yayin misamach lev od lev adam. In levinosh. There's an element of yayin that yayin brings joy. And the joy is understood to mean because the yayin can give a, can intoxicate, can alcohol is a chemical which works on the brain, loosens up a person's mind, and can be a tool to bring simcha. Okay, yayin, we always say yayin is nothing more than a tool. It gets you to where you want to go. Person is in a state of mourning and he wants to have comfort, he drinks yayin. Tnu yayin, tnu shechar, le'oived, the yayin, I don't remember the pasuk, but wine was given to people that were in a deep state of depression. And they would want to pull themselves out of their depression. By consuming, imbibing yayin, it loosens up their mind and it gives the person the ability to move, to lift himself up out of sadness to a state of comfort. But you have to want to do that, of course. Today, people don't want to do anything. They want everything to happen by itself, so it doesn't really work. And that's why it used to be in time of Chazal that at Beis Ovel, they would serve 10 glasses of yayin. An Ovel would be given to drink 10 cups of wine in order to pull him out of depression. The Chazal have canceled that halacha because it doesn't work today. Today, people, they drink the yayin, they become meshuggah. They get drunk, they do the wrong things. It doesn't work. But me'ikir hadin yayin.
Gemara Brachas says they only did it when they raised it to 14 and things got out of hand. They were still doing it. They kept making it more and more. 7, 8, 10. And then when they hit 14, that's when the people got meshuggah. So they
canceled the whole thing.
That's the Gemara Brachas.
Okay, right, okay. So then, but yayin also gives the person joy. Fine. Now, in order for yayin to give a person joy to achieve its goal, it has to turn into alcohol. Once you take grape juice and you cook it, there's no potential. It's finished. It's over. Number two, they add, am I saying the correct thing? Sulfites?
Sulfites.
They add sulfites? Or it's natural?
I think it's natural.
Okay, then I'm making a mistake. Then it's not sulfites. It's something else. They add a chemical. You have to study this online. Talk to Kadem. They actually add into grape juice an ingredient which destroys its potential to turn into alcohol. And this is done commercially, and it's done, this is the way it is. Therefore, some have come to question.
It could be ascorbic acid or whatever it is.
Okay, whatever it is. They add something, bedafka, because they don't want it to spoil. They don't want the grape juice turning into alcohol on the store shelf. They don't want to play games. And of course, they use certain types of grapes, which also are not prone to turn into alcohol, whatever it is, but they do certain things to the wine that deliberately prevent it from turning into alcohol. Therefore, there are those that who want to suggest that in this type of grape juice, which has been cooked and has been, you've added to it ingredients which stunt its potential to turn into alcohol, You don't even make a boy priya gofen. The bracha you make on such a drink is shahakol nihiyeh bidvarai. Okay, that's what many poskim suggest. Nihiyeh, nihiyeh, machloikis, whatever it is. Shahakol nihiyeh bidvarai. Because this is not called yayin. Yayin is either an alcoholic beverage, from grapes, of course, or even if it has not yet turned into alcohol, at least it has potential. At least, the very least, it has potential. You have not damaged, you have not added any chemical to destroy its potential. You have not cooked it. Once you cook it, it's done. Once you add alcohol, you add these ingredients, there's no potential. And the bracha should be shahakol nihiyeh bidvarai. This is not what Chazal had in mind. Boirei priya gofen. And certainly, you're not yoytze kiddush on such a type of beverage. This has been suggested by many poskim throughout the ages, especially in America or modern times, when we manipulate yayin. However, there's a Gemara. There's a Gemara that you can argue with. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, this Gemara has saved the whole Klal Yisrael. Bava Basra, on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis. Soichet Adam Eshkol Shel Anovim. A person is allowed to squeeze a cluster of grapes. V'oimer Olav Kiddush Hayom. Now, if you go freshly pressed grape juice, have grapes, squeeze them. You can't do it on Shabbos, that's Chil Shabbos, Daraisa. But you do it Friday afternoon, you squeeze the grapes Friday afternoon, and then you put it into a cup, you can make a boy priya gofen. Now that is not alcohol. It takes at least 40 days, I think, Chazal say, for it to turn into alcohol.
But it has the potential.
Oh, all right, so that's the problem. It has the potential. Halacha l'maisa, the Gedolei Yisrael all pretty much are of the opinion. Now, by the way, who's the one that makes this point? It's the Rashbam. It's the Rashbam. The Rashbam says that why taka? Rashbam asked the question, why is it? What's Pshat the Gemara? Bava Basra is dominated by the Rashbam. There is no Rashi in Bava Basra, in this part of Bava Basra, and the Bava Basra. The Rashbam says, why taka are you allowed to make Kiddush on this halacha of Soichet Adam Eshkol Shel Anovim? And you can be Mekadosh Olav. You can be Mekadosh Olav. Why? Because the Rashbam says, his words are, and he doesn't have a quote, it's because it's this potential. Being that there is potential for this extract of the grape to turn into alcohol, even though it has not yet turned into alcohol, it's already called yayin, and you can make a boy priya gofen, and you can use it for kiddush hayoyim. The problem is, what about our wine? Our wine is certainly in the category of grape juice. It's not yayin, it's together, soichet adam eshkol shalanavim v'yomer lov kiddush hayoyim. But our wine we have today, we've ruined our grape juice by cooking it and by adding ingredients, chemicals that prevent it from turning into alcohol. And the Rashbam says, really, you have to have yayin that's mishaker. You have to have wine which causes intoxication, because only that kind of wine is a quality wine which is misameach, gives a person joy. The reason why you can squeeze a cluster of grapes is only because the reason why you can squeeze a cluster of grapes only because of the potential. That's what it says in the Rashbam. Shiru'uyim liyos yayin im yishe oisam ad shayit sosu. Sosu means it ferments. But if that's the case, our grape juice does not have that potential because we have destroyed it. L'choira should not be valid for Kiddush Hayoyim, and we should not even make upon it a Bar Priya Gofen, only a Shakol Nia Bidvaroi. So what is going on? Why is the whole Klal Yisrael lenient in this matter? And I say, not everyone is lenient. There are many people, be surprised, it depends, you know, people who, there are certain people that really have their thing, they have Yirah Shamayim, and they want to do things right, and they're very sensitive to this, and they do one of two things. There's a black market out there of grape juice that has not been cooked and has not been tampered with. Okay, I don't know if you can buy it commercially. Maybe there is some commercial. There, what?
Must?
I don't know what. I don't know.
They advertise it with the
Okay, so obviously it's much more sensitive. It could be, there could be bacteria. I don't know if the government will give you a license. If you don't pasteurize it, maybe the government's going to say this is illegal.
It's not fermented, so they don't need a license.
I'm sorry?
It's not fermented, so they don't need a license.
Okay, I don't know how all the laws and regulations of selling something commercially. If you do something commercially, then the government's going to really get involved and whatever it is. But there's certainly a black market, I know about this, where people privately, they sell grape juice that has not been cooked and chemicals have not been added in order to be mekayim what it says in the Gemara, Soichet Adam Eshkol Shel Anav V'Omer Olav Kiddush Hayom. Pure grape juice.
Okay.
But you got to be careful because, again, you know, if there's a reason why the government doesn't like this being sold commercially, because there might be bacteria, there might be poison, it can be lethal. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. Obviously, there's a reason why there are government regulations supposedly to protect you from danger. So if there is such a thing, so obviously you got to be very, very careful when you do these basement businesses over here of selling you grape juice that has not been pasteurized. You better make sure the facility is spotlessly clean and the people that are doing this, they know exactly what's going on. Whatever it is. Okay, that is one issue. What else? What's another heter? So the heter basically given by all the gedolim is as follows. Since in the beginning of the processing of kedem grape juice, in the very early stage of the processing, how did that wine get into your, that grape juice get into your bottle? Because they took regular grapes and they crushed them and liquid came out. At that moment in time, there were no chemicals added and it was not yet pasteurized. So somewhere in the earliest incipient stage in the factory, somewhere you had pure grape juice that was free from chemicals and free from pasteurization. At that moment in time, it was valid for Kiddush. Once you've reached that critical moment where it's kosher, it doesn't matter what you do to it now. Even though now you ruin it, you put in chemicals, you pasteurize it, doesn't matter. As long, if you would take the grapes and you would cook the grapes and then squeeze the grapes, if there's such a thing. If you can somehow stunt the growth of the liquid in the grapes before it comes out of the grapes, which maybe you could, maybe, I don't know, maybe if you go and you give the vineyard, you go and you plant a certain fertilizer in the vineyard, and the fertilizer in the vineyard is going to cause that these grapes can never, ever become alcoholic. Is there such a thing? There probably is. Okay, if you have some special fertilizer that will cause that the grapes will be sterile, will never be able to turn into alcohol, or let's say you'll harvest the grapes, and I don't know, you'll do something to them. You'll put them in some type of high-tech microwave, and the microwave rays are going to kill whatever is inside of the grape that science needs to turn into alcohol, and then you will squeeze the grapes, then enochinami. You would make shahakol nieh bidvaroi, and those grapes would not be kosher for kiddush. It's an incredible yisoid. This is a basic halacha that comes out. Really, what we're doing today is really problematic. Because what we're doing today, we're dealing with yayin, it's a Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Soichet Adam, the Gemara says, you can squeeze a cluster of grapes, produce grape juice, and you can make Kiddush. The Rashbam asks the question, what are you talking about? Yayin by definition is something which is alcohol, which is misameach. Grape juice does not have that quality. So the Rashbam answers, it has potential. Very good. But today, there is no potential. You go to any wine store, all the grape juice that we purchase today in any grocery store does not have that potential. Along come the Paiskim. It once had potential. In the factory, when Kedem or any of these companies produces grape juice, before they add before they pasteurize it, and before they add the chemicals, it does have potential to turn into alcohol. Once there's a chalois on the grape juice in the factory, that this is kosher for Kiddush, now you can do whatever you want to it. You want to ruin it? You want to damage it by putting some chemicals, by cooking it and preventing it from turning into alcohol? It's okay. Because there was a chalois of kosher yayin boirei priya gofen for kiddush. Once it has that chalois, it's good to go. L'may nafkemina. We live in a very complicated, advanced world of food technology. And there is no doubt that the technology certainly is probably available today where you can take certain types. There is even certain varieties of grapes that will never turn into alcohol. Or if you'll take even very high quality grapes that can turn into alcohol and you'll manipulate them in their growth with a certain type of fertilizer or a certain type of technique. Or even if you have very good grapes that have potential and you'll do something to the grapes before you crush them, that will prevent their extract from turning into alcohol. L'chayra, it's a shahako. It's not cold. It never had that potential for one moment and would not be kosher for Kiddush Friday night. Now, there are other nafkaminas about our grape juice b'zman hazeh. This is very, very interesting. Let's talk about making a shahakol niyeh bidvaroy on a cup of water, a soda, or orange juice. Go to a Kiddush. This is basic halach. You go to a Kiddush and you're sitting in the audience and the rabbi, he makes Kiddush, Baruch Atah Hashem, on grape juice. Elokeinu melech haolam, boirei pri hagafen. And the rabbi drinks the cup and everyone right away takes some cake, some crackers, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, boirei minei mezoinos. And then you immediately want to pour yourself a glass of Coca-Cola, Diet Coke, and you want to make a shahakol. Do you make a shahakol? There's a halacha that if you make a boir priya gofen, the boir priya gofen patters all beverages that are shahakol. It's not always no good, because if you'll take a piece of fish, and you'll make a shahakol on the piece of fish, so the shahakol on the piece of fish, and it also will exempt a beverage. But let's say I did not yet get up to the fish. I took a cracker. I made a boir bnei mezonos, and now I want to drink a glass of Diet Coke. Do I make a shahakol on the glass of Diet Coke? The answer is, of course you do. You are not the one who drank the yayin. Just because the rabbi made a borei priya gofen, and the rabbi consumed a revius or a meloi lugma of yayin, but you didn't consume any yayin, so therefore you have to make a shahakol niya bidvaroi on your glass of Diet Coke. But let's say the rabbi passes around what you really, you should be toying, that is the halacha l'chatchila. Let's first talk with the rabbi. The rabbi, though, he made a bari priya gofen, and he drank, let's assume, a meloi lugma. 1.6 ounces. And now the rabbi made a mezoinos on a piece, on a cracker. And now the rabbi wants to have a glass of Diet Coke. Does the rabbi make a shahakol on the glass of Diet Coke? No. Why not? Because he made a borei pri hagofen and he actually drank. He actually drank a revius.
What about on the herring?
I told you, if you were to make a shahakol on the herring, then of course you don't need to make a shahakol on the beverage. But I said in our example,
the rabbi makes a shahakol on the
herring. Yes, he must make a shahakol on the herring. He must. It only exempts beverages. It does not exempt foods. The rabbi must make a shakal on the herring. But let's say the rabbi's not yet up to the fish. The rabbi wants now to drink a glass, a beverage. He made a borei priya gofen on the yayin, and he imbibed from that yayin at least a revius, at least 1.6 ounces. Then the bracha borei priya gofen, together with his consumption, his imbibing of 1.6 ounces, which is a schnapps cup and a half of yayin, exempts him from making a shahakol on a beverage.
Only
on a beverage. Now, what about those in the audience? No, because they have not imbibed anything. Let's say they pass around small little glasses of yayin from the rabbi's cup. The rabbi's a big cup, and he pours for other people to be toyim from the yayin. So the Mishneh Berurah has a tzaruch in what to do. The Mishneh Berurah's dilemma is maybe the only time the borei priya gofen that will exempt you from making a shakal in the beverage is only if you drink a meloi lugma, 1.6. If you don't drink 1.6, you only drink a little ti'ima, less than a schnapps cup and a half, then the borei priya gofen will not exempt you. So it's not certain. The Mishnah Berurah leaves us at Tzarachi, and then maybe you don't. So therefore, if a person is toyim from the kiddush, he should drink at least 1.6 ounces so that he does not have to make a shahakol on a beverage, or he should make a shahakol, be careful to make a shahakol on a food item first. If a person goes to a kiddush, and the proper thing to do is to be toyim from the koishel bracha, but the amount that they're going to give you to be toyim is going to be less than 1.6 ounces. So now if you will then make a bari minim zonos on a cracker, you should be careful to first make a shahakol on a food item, and don't make that shahakol on a beverage, because a shahakol on a beverage you may be exempt, because since you did taste a little bit of the yayin that was exempted with the bari priagofen of the one that made kiddush, so maybe that bari priagofen and the fact that you did taste a little bit of the yayin exempts you from a shahakol on a beverage. You're in a very difficult situation. So either you should drink more wine, take some wine and drink up to 1.6 ounces, and then you certainly do not need to make a shahakol on a beverage, or make a shahakol on a food item, and then automatically will exempt the beverage. Now here comes the big twist, the big hakira, which makes things life much more complicated in the modern world. And that is, someone suggests, a peladika thing. Although we're makel, and we hold that grape juice that has been pasteurized and has also have been added to the mix chemicals which will prevent it from ever turning into alcohol, although it's not a lechatchila, because the Rashbam in Masechet Bava Basra says that the reason why grape juice is kosher is because it has potential, and here there is no potential, and we come up with this solution. Listen, it once had potential. A chalois, a bari priagofen, good enough. But such a type of beverage is not choshuv enough that it can exempt with a bari priagofen a shahakol. So even the rabbi today is in trouble. The rabbi who made the bari priagofen and drank a whole cup of wine, of grape juice. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, bari priagofen, grape juice. Kedem grape juice, the real deal. Kedem grape juice, pasteurized, has chemicals, and he drinks a whole cup or a ganzer of this. And now they're, I gotta take a drink of soda. I gotta take a drink of Diet Coke. I've been waiting for this the whole day. Where's the Diet Coke? Do I have to make a shahakol on Diet Coke? Of course not. You made a bari priagofen and you drank a whole of this. Not so fast, Rabbi. The beverage, the grape juice that you drank is not really grape juice. It's not grape juice. It's a joke. That's called grape juice.
You're making going to a kiddush such a complicated...
Basically, to save yourself from all the trouble...
It's better to eat when you get home.
Better don't eat altogether. Don't eat. Never, ever have charata what you did not eat. You ever go to a wedding and there's nowhere to sit, or someone's sitting in your seat and this and that, and hey... I gave a gift here. I deserve a main course. I deserve it. And it was good also. That steak, that good stuff over here. And before you turn around, that's it. It's all gone. You go home. Should you have charata that you did not eat the main course? Never. One thing in life, you never, ever have charata what you did not eat. No matter how good it could have been. Because... food, we all can battle, can lose weight. It's a constant battle. Never have charata what you did not eat. Never. That's a rule, easy rule to follow. Now, in any event, so the rabbi who makes a bari priagofen on grape juice and drinks a full shear and now wants to drink a beverage, does he need to make a shahakol near bidvaroi? So you'll tell me, what are you talking about? Textbook, case, Shulchan Aruch, Gemara, Abore Pri Hagofen exempts all beverages. You're from Mars? Who doesn't know this? The same way that Hamoitzi exempts all other foods, A boy pri'ah gofen exempts all beverages. Not so fast. The boy pri'ah gofen that exempts from all beverages is when you drink real wine. Real wine, real alcohol. Okay, grape juice, it's a chiddush, even though it's not alcohol, at least it has potential. But here it doesn't even have potential. Do we go lehalacha so far to allow a person not to make a shahakol niyeh bidvaroi on a beverage when his borei pri'ah gofen was recited on kedem grape juice? Because many poskim will tell you on kedem grape juice you should make a shahakol niyeh bidvaroi, not a borei pri'ah gofen, and it was a bracha levatola. Now we don't say that. We're very generous, very lenient, and we say, yeah, it's okay. Even though there's no potential, it had once but not potential, it's good enough, so you can make a bor pri'ah gofen, you can be yotze kiddush. Okay, kiddush, the truth is, kiddush, you can use chamar medina. So it's not worse than chamar medina. So yotze kiddush. Friday night is a little bit more problematic. It's more problematic Friday night, okay, in a chinami. But ad kedei kach, a bracha levat, to make a bracha birchas hanenin, also lehonois mi'olam hazeh. You don't have hanof from olam hazeh, unless you make a bracha. You made a bor pri'ah gofen and you drank a revius. Is that really good enough to exempt from a shahakol when the bor pri'ah gofen you made is really halachically problematic? It should really be a shahakol. So you want to say it's good enough a kiddush, but yeah, it's good enough.
You're telling me that my bracha isn't good. It is good or isn't good. If you're going to say it is.
Okay, good, you can. You can, so halacha lemaisa, you're right. Halacha lemaisa, the oilam is definitely lenient. They're definitely lenient, and a bor pri'ah gofen on grape juice that's been pasteurized with chemicals is good enough. And you drink a revius or at least a maloy lugma or a maloy lugma is half of a revius. A revius is 3 ounces, period. Rav Chaim Noe, Rav Shlomo Rav Eliyashiv, Rav Eliyashiv was the Gadol Hador. He said, the end of the day, don't confuse me with 2.9, 3.4, 4.6, and 6. And the end of the day, Pesach Achron, Rav Chaim Noe, a revius is 3 ounces, finished. 3 ounces. A Mulay Lugma is a roiv revius. An ounce is 1 schnapps shot. Those plastic disposable whiskey cups that they have in every shul by a kiddush, that's exactly 1 ounce. Look at the cup. On the bottom of the cup in plastic, it says 1 fluid ounce. Now, by the way, they make double. They make bigger ones now. They start some of the shuls. They have double shots. But a single shot is 1 ounce. 3 of those is a revius. When you make kiddush, you must have in front of you liquid, yayin, at least 3 ounces. From the 3 ounces, lichatchila, you should drink roiv, which is 1.6. Lichatchila. Bidiyeved, if you drink even a mashahu, you're yoytze. If you drink nothing, you're not yoytze kiddush. You're not yoytze kiddush, and yoytze havdola. Yeah, someone has to drink at least a mashahu, and lichatchila, someone should drink 1.6. But you have to start out with 3. Now, let's go back. Okay, so therefore, this is now, here's another interesting shilat, one more shilat, and then we'll talk another topic, and that is, we all know that, let's say you don't have bread or mezoinus, Pesach, this is a very common case, Pesach, even though they do have matzah meal, cake, but when you make kiddush, ain kiddush ela b'makom su'uda. Okay, that's a big topic. Rav Moshe has a lot of chidushim on that. Rav Moshe does not necessarily hold of that in all situations. Rav Moshe makes the situation lahalacha much easier. But let's go like the Hamoinam. Most of the people don't follow Rav Moshe, and they hold that if you can make kiddush, you can make kiddush. You're not yoytzei kiddush unless you can have a kezayis of a suuda, bread, of course, the chatchila. Next thing is mizoinois minei dogon. Mizoinois. Let's say you don't have dogon. What's the next best thing? A revius of yayin. Right. Let's say you don't have a revius of yayin. The Mishnah Berurah says b'diavad mini targima even peiros. B'diavad can also be called a kiddush b'makom suda. Okay, whatever it is. Now, but what do? A revius of yayin, a revius, and this becomes again a shul where Friday night they make kiddush in shul. In some shuls they still make kiddush Friday night, and you're supposed to give it to the child to drink. And let's say there are no children and they want to make kiddush, so then you got a big problem. So what do? You have to have kiddush b'makom suuda. How do you have kiddush b'makom suuda for the one that makes kiddush in shul Friday night? He drinks a double revius. One revius for the kiddush, and a second revius for the su'udah, the meal. So it's kiddush b'makom su'udah, 6 ounces of wine. So some have come along and made the following argument. Whenever you're in a situation, like, what about Pesach? Pesach, I remember a Fivel Kohn, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, I went to, one of his children was in my, I was in this class in Chaim Berlin, in elementary school, Avraham Yeshaya Kohn, the son of a Fivel Kohn Zechet Tzadik Levracha. He was in my class. He had made a bar mitzvah. His bar mitzvah was on the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach. And I remember I went to the shul around the corner from down over there. Went to the shul. His bar mitzvah. He lain kadosh lechol b'char. And then after they finished davening, they brought out kiddush Chol Hamoed. They brought out food on the table. And our Fivel Kohn made an announcement. Rabbeisai, please be aware that the mezoinos is shahakol. The mezoinos is shahakol. Okay, on Pesach, okay, all the Pesach products, not all, it used to be 100%. We live in a very affluent society today where they make Pesach products with matzah meal, and it's taki is a mezoinos, but more or less, most of the Pesach products are shahakol. So how do you make a kiddush on in shul with on Pesach? Pesach, when, how are you going to have kiddush b'makom suda? Where are you going to have mizoinos? Everything is shahako. So, okay, so you can sit down and you can wash. The other solution is b'dievet, someone shahako is also. The Mishnah Berurah says the b'dievet, fruits is also good. People do whatever you want to go do. Rav Moshe Betzem holds you don't need. Rav Moshe Betzem holds that you don't need anything. Rav Moshe holds you can make a cup of, you can make a kiddush and you can drink a cup of coffee. You need the kiddush to let you eat. Are you yoytzei kiddush? No, but you can make kiddush in order to eat. Later at home you have to do kiddush again in order to be yoytzei kiddush. Rav Moshe, tremendous kiddush. Rav Moshe, if you had a kiddush and I don't want to eat, I just want a cup of coffee. So you listen to the kiddush. You yoytzei kiddush, and you can lechatchila drink a cup of coffee. But you have to make kiddush again later and have a suda to be yoytzei kiddush. The atzvei didim in kiddush. Kiddush is a matir to eat, and then there's a din of making kiddush. To be yoytzei kiddush, you need a kiddush b'makom suda. But if you only want at the moment to drink, You want to be matir to eat something that's not a suda, so you can make kiddush as a matir to have a cup of coffee. You can drink the cup of coffee. You're not yoytzei the kiddush, but you still need that kiddush to drink the cup of coffee. Okay, that's right, Moshe. But let's go back to the case of kiddush b'makom suda. So one of the solutions is grape juice. Yeah, is a revius of yayin. There are those who have come along and want to say that our grape juice today, although you can make upon it a shahakol, you can make up a bor priagofen, and you can be yoytzei kiddush, you cannot go so far to say kedem grape juice that has been pasteurized and has been given some ingredients that has stifled its growth potential to become alcohol can be considered a su'uda that so'ed, that gives a person's heart satisfaction, that it's called kiddush b'makom su'uda. Isn't that a kiddush? Because we are dealing with a virtual reality today. We are dealing with food technology that people have come to question. Everything about grape juice, people have come to challenge. Really? You can make on kedem grape juice a bori priagofen? Maybe you only can make a shahakol. And even if you can make a bor priagofen, can you really be yoytzei kiddush? If you can be yoytzei kiddush, Can you say that the boy prayer goffin you said on Kedem grape juice is good enough to exempt other beverages? Can you even go so far to say that it's so'ed? It's called a su'uda, and you're going to be yoytzei the kiddush b'mokem su'uda. We're challenging every single halacha of borei pri hagofen with kedem grape juice. Because Chazal did not deal with kedem grape juice. They didn't deal with this. The only thing they have is soichet adam eshkol shel anavim umekadesh olav Shabbos. You can make kiddush. That's pure organic organic grape juice, no additives, no preservatives, no games. That's it. Anything more than that, you are deviating from the purity of the halacha. Halacha l'maisa, I believe we are lenient through and through. The Rashbam alludes to the leniency that's potential. The later day poskim say it just needs potential for a moment in some factory somewhere in the world. And that is sufficient. And from there on in, it doesn't matter what you do to it. And then look how far we go. We make kiddush. We use it to exempt other beverages. We even use it as a double revius. Not to be yoytze kiddush b'mokoyim su'uda ad kedei kach. Yes, Shulchan Aruch. You need
a double revius.
What does it mean a double revius? A double revius means the first revius is the first amount of wine that you imbibe does not count towards your meal. Well, the truth is the Mishnah Berurah says does say that it's also a dilemma. Maybe it can be included? I don't remember exactly. But lichatchila, a person should drink 6 ounces. If a person, you go to a kiddush, and you're gluten-free diet, gluten-free, no mezonos. I'm here at this kiddush. The only thing I'm able to eat, doctor's orders, is fish and ice cream. I don't know. I'm not allowed to have any grain product. Doctor said no grain product. So I want to eat. So according to Rav Moshe, you can do whatever you want. But not a lot of places can, for some reason, they don't accept Rav Moshe's chiddush. They don't do this, and they say you can't eat unless you have a su'uda. What's your su'uda? Fish is not in the world of halacha a su'uda. I want to have turkey roll. They have all these meat platters. They have meat platters. They have fruit platters. And they have fish platters. Today, it's just affluent son, one of those meat platters, $150, a meat platter. A little one, small one, $150. A little teeny meat platter from Lakewood. I want to have the meat. What's it called? Jerkies? What's this new mishigas?
Beef jerky.
Beef jerky, it's called? What is this? Maze.
Belly.
Never heard of this. Never saw this. Never heard of this. And Naizach. And I'm a Shagas. Okay.
The amount of sodium in there is staggering.
Aye, aye.
It's cured, dried out, and won't spoil.
So why would they want to poison everyone at a kiddush?
That's the only way.
So now it's a delicacy. And it costs $150 a platter.
Well, because it's dry, it takes a while to dry it out. So the weight of, let's say, a 5-pound salami, you're going to eat hard salami, which is dried out. So it starts off as a 5-pound salami or a 6-pound salami. By the time it dries out, it weighs a little under 2 pounds because all the moisture is
gone
out. And you had to wait to sell it. And now you're getting from a 5-pound salami that you were getting $3 a pound, you only have 2 pounds left. So you got to sell it for $20 a pound.
But why would you want to eat this?
It's very good.
It is very good, okay.
I want to know where the $3 a pound
salami. No, I'm talking about, I retired.
Okay, but in any event, all right, so let's say, so you're not allowed any mezonos. You're not allowed, so what do you do? So you have, so the solution is, you have 6 ounces, it's not so much, 6 ounces of either wine or wine. Okay, 6 ounces is not all that much. 6 little schnapps cups of wine, that's called Kiddush B'Mokam Suda. The first three is Kiddush, and the next 3 ounces is your meal, your Suda. Yayin Soed Li, the Pasuk says that wine gives a satiation. The modern day Poskim are questioning if this rule applies to grape juice, Kedem grape juice. We have already been lenient to the degree where we make Kiddush upon Kedem grape juice and we make Bar Priya Gavna Kedem grape juice. But can we go so far and say that your last 3 ounces of Kedem grape juice is going to be considered the Su'uda to be Yoitse Kiddush B'Mokim Su'uda? The very least, the grape juice, first of all, who even says grape juice can be a Su'uda? The Gemara only talks about using grape juice for Kiddush. It doesn't talk about using grape juice for a su'uda. Chazal say yayin is so'ed liba de'inish. So to use grape juice as your su'uda, that's already off the charts of Kiddush. And then to go say that this grape juice that we're using is not even your typical grape juice because it's been manipulated, even that's going to be called something which is going to be called, you're going to be yoytze Kiddush and makom su'uda having 3 ounces of that? Well, people appear to be lenient in this matter, but it's, we appreciate that it is a Kiddush. All right, let's talk.
It was so lenient on it that was saying make Kiddush on it versus making the Kiddush on Nichalas.
No, by day, there's a difference.
On
no, only at night you can make Kiddush on Chala. Right. By day, you have to have Chamar Medina. Chamar Medina. Okay, right, you have to each case has to be judged individually. Right? Okay, these, I just want to bring out these points. Right.
Can grapes be considered potential? Grapes themselves, can they?
No. The potential begins when it becomes a liquid.
Squeezed.
After it's squeezed. And so, halacha l'maaseh, as long as there was potential for one moment, after it's squeezed, that is sufficient. That is sufficient. That's what comes out of halacha l'maaseh. That's why we're very lenient. Okay, let's discuss another topic very quickly, and that is, are you allowed to make kiddush on a disposable cup? Okay, on a plastic disposable cup. Are you permitted to make a kiddush? This comes from a Mishnah in Masechta Parah. The Gemara there says that if a person takes a horn of an animal, I'm not really clear what, and he uses it, and the question is it mekabel tumah? You want to use a horn of an animal as a receptacle. Now, interesting, David HaMelech was anointed with the shemen that was in a keren. Whereas Shaul was anointed with oil in a pach. But the Gemara there, I don't know if the horn they were referring to is the same, but okay, that was this is a Mishnah in Masechta Kelim. A Mishnah in Masechta Kelim says, HaKeren Shehu Mishtamesh Ba Umashlicha Tahoira. It's a Mishnah. A Keren, a horn. Now, I don't know exactly what we're referring to. I guess this type of horn of an animal, this type of dealing with it, it says explicitly in the Mishnah, it is disposable. Shehu mishtamesh u'mashlicha tohoira. The Mishnah says this horn is not a receptacle with regard to the laws of tumah v'tahara. It is tar. In order for something to become tameh, it has to be a kli. This is a fundamental rule. In order for an object to be susceptible to ritual contamination, it must be called a utensil. What is the definition of a utensil? Permanence. This type of object that is being discussed in the Mishnah, which says a keren, which I'm assuming means a horn of an animal, and the Mishnah explicitly says that mishtamesh ba u'mashlicha, you only use it temporarily, tohoira is not susceptible to ritual contamination. Choshav olecha, let's say you have kavana, you know it's not so bad, I'm going to reuse this many, many times, I'm going to put it into the kitchen, put it in the cabinet, I'm going to use this receptacle, even though most people throw it in the garbage, it's not kedai for them. For me, it's kedai. I'm going to reuse it multiple times. Then mikabeles tuma mikan l'haba. Yes, your machshava in laws of tumah v'tahara can change the halacha. It now is significant. It's called a receptacle. If it comes in contact with the dead or a sheretz or any other object that is tamei, it becomes tamei with all the laws of tumah v'tahara and needs to be immersed in the mikvah. So, what does this Mishnah here tell you? It says something that is disposable is not mekabel tumah. It's not called a kli.
Right.
Now along come all the poskim and they make a quantum leap. It's not such a quantum leap. And they say, when it comes to kiddush, it's in Shulchan Aruch, you must make kiddush on a utensil. You can't make kiddush by on a water fountain. If you have a fountain that's a fountain of wine, I don't know, whatever. You have some type of a collection of a spigot, right? You can't make on a barrel of wine. You can't make kiddush on a barrel of wine. You have a barrel of wine with a spigot, and you're going to recite kiddush, and then you're going to put your mouth to the spigot, and you're going to drink a revius of wine. You can't do that. You're not yotze. Kiddush has to be recited when you're holding in your hand a kli, a utensil. If something is not called a utensil with regard to tuma v'tahara, it's not called a utensil for the laws of kiddush. That's an assumption. You can argue on that assumption. You can say the laws of utensil have different laws depending on which chelik of Shulchan Aruch you're dealing with. If you're dealing with a sugya of tuma v'tahara, it has its halachas. When you're dealing with the sugya of kiddush or achayim, it has its halachas. The bottom line, this is paper. This is meant to be disposed of. Okay? It's only meant to be used once. It's not going to last forever. These cups, after a while, they begin to sag. The very cheap ones. I once spent time looking into paper cups. After they put in cherim the styrofoam cups. I don't know why they put in cherim the styrofoam cups. Oh, now only paper. So paper, I noticed right away, paper, it gets cold immediately. As soon as you pour up a cup of coffee, a styrofoam cup, not to covering it, even leaving it open on top, it can go for good 15 minutes steaming hot. Paper after 3 minutes already ice cold. Paper does not. Number two, the paper doesn't last. The very cheap ones, it begins to sag. You leave it on the table for 2 days, there's already the whole table's wet. It leaks through after a day or two. The really cheap ones, some even less. Some of you squeeze them too hard, you're finished. You all get all wet, they break in a second. Okay, they still make disposable cups, believe it or not. They're disposable. So according, if you want to go say, that are the laws of Tumah V'Tahara equivalent, are they the same? Do we carry them across the board for Kiddush? Some say yes, some say not. If you're going to say the laws, most places can say they're the same. If they're the same, then anything that is disposable is not called a kli for Tumah V'Tahara. It's not called a kli for Kiddush. And therefore, you're not Yotze Kiddush. You cannot make Kiddush on a disposable utensil. Now you'll notice that many people do make kiddush on disposable utensils, on disposable cups. First of all, there's a chiluk between plastic and paper. And you should know that many of the old she'elus u'teshuvos on this question was a different generation, going back at least 50 years ago. You don't see them around anymore. The Dixie cups. Even the Dixie cups today are coated with wax and they're not so bad. But they used to be, I remember very vaguely, these very old.
I have Dixie cups that you put water in it.
1, 2, 3. They literally cannot. It can't even last once. These would be these old-fashioned. These old. They were not even coated with wax. They were really, really disposable. Even if you wanted, you couldn't use them more than once. So that clearly is not a utensil, and that for sure you cannot make kiddush on. However, the cups that we have today, especially the plastic, any of this plastic, even the cheap plastic, well, depends. You know, Eric showed them now they become very chewy in plastic. They have some very, very thin plastic. It's not necessarily. So some want to argue that they're not disposable. What is the definition of disposable? Is the definition of disposable in your mind that I'm going to use it once and I'll throw it in the garbage? But if I want, I can really use this 100 times. You take a plastic, you buy a plastic cup, you could use it 100 times. Now, they're not going to wear out so quickly. You are wealthy, and for you, it's not worth it, so you'll throw it after one time. Is that the definition of disposable? Or is disposable the definition of can it really be used multiple times? So the Mishnah says, the Mishnah over here says, What does that mean over there? Does that mean the reason why you throw in the garbage is because typically it doesn't last more than one use? Or does it mean no? The Karen can be used multiple times, but it's just an attitude that people have. It's not clear what the Mishnah means. Many Poskim say that today's plastic cups are not really disposable. They're really long-term. Because push comes to shove, you'll use it many, many, many times. You want to make believe that you're a millionaire and throw it in the garbage. That's your problem.
This is for Kiddush Friday night? Or
both. Kiddush Friday night, Kiddush Friday, it doesn't make a difference.
It could be that it wasn't reusable because it became meuse.
After one's usage. After one usage. Right, that's the question. So, but it says, but if I want to use it, then it's Mekabel Tumah. Oh, what's the difference between you and everyone else? Is it usable? Is it functional? Is it not functional? It's not clear. You can say what you want to say. But when we extrapolate, many Gedolei Yisrael say that today, that the plastics, at least in America, I know that in Eretz Yisrael, things have changed. They've gone backwards. They've gone backwards in Eretz Yisrael. Are you familiar with Dov? With
on recyclables go by the weight of the plastic.
So they've made it now.
For a while,
the people have been complaining bitterly that the quality of plastic utensils in Eretz Yisrael is ridiculous. Has gotten to a point where it's just impossible, where the plastic is so laser thin. If you have a cup, you fill up the cup, it's just...
Now, but that's not that. Israel, for example, developed the milk in plastic containers.
The bags.
So that they last a long time.
Okay.
This is a big dilemma.
Certainly, if you go to a kiddush, certainly they have now. They sell expensive plastic cups. And look, they're silver. They paint them silver. You've all seen the disposable plastic cups that look like a becher. So certainly those are kosher because those are durable. They're meant, they can last a long, even though we throw it in the garbage out, they're expensive. They're not so cheap, these things. They go to the price.
Friday night and Shabbos.
Use it twice. Now, there is a mishagas that people have been doing this for years, where you go to a kiddush, there's no cups, so they take two cups together. They put one cup, you never ever saw this?
That was the old chumrah.
What old chumrah? I saw someone do this a few weeks ago.
I said, but it started years ago.
They take one cup and another cup. So what is that? If a plastic cup is good, it's good. If it's not good, what is two together going to make a difference? So in fact, I've searched high and low for this once upon a time. Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn in one of his Sfarim published by Arutz called Hilcha Shabbos, he writes there in the footnote that this is a mishagas. That's what at least he writes. There is no makar for this, and it doesn't do anything. If you're going to use plastic, you only need one cup. If you're not going to use plastic, having two plastic cups, one within the other, is not going to help you in the world of halacha. Maybe you feel more comfortable, it's not going to spill, good for you. But as a halachic requirement, that only if you're using a disposable utensil, only if you put one within another, is the kiddush a yoytze, there is no mikar anywhere for this of putting one cup in another cup, at least from a halachic perspective. There's a machlokes. If disposable, this is the Mishnah. This Mishnah Leah says that disposable is not called the utensil for Tumah v'Tahara. Does that translate over into Shulchan Aruch or Rechayim v'Kiddush? Some say yes, some say not. If you hold that it does, it's not Mekabel Tumah because it's disposable, so it's not called a utensil for Kiddush. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you can do about it. You're not going to be Yotze Kiddush. On the other hand, the Mishnah, if you do personally decide you're going to use this multiple times, then it's going to be good. No one's doing that. When you go look at these plastic cups, you don't see anyone's, okay, I don't have a cup, I'm going to use this plastic cup for the next week. For the next week, I'm going to use this, and no one's doing that. So if you would do that, then it would be good. But no one's doing that. So the bottom line is, this is going to be disposable. So how far does it go? And the only heter is that the cups are really, they're not disposable. This, that we have a tendency to throw them in the garbage, is only because of our wealth. Now, there is another very interesting solution to this problem.
From the bottle?
to make kiddush on the bottle. Okay, a bottle of wine. Now, b'diavad, you don't have to go fill up the cup to the very, very top. You should lechatchila beyond a shadow of a doubt. But when you don't have more, you have a revius of yayin b'diavad. You can make the kiddush on a revius of yayin, even if it's not full to the top. The bottle of wine is certainly called. The bottle of wine is certainly called a kli. However, it's not bakovedik to go hold a bottle of wine and say, Al kein berach, es yom ha-shabbos, vayikadosheyu, and you drink it from your mouth. So this is the solution. The solution is, you make kiddush, you fill up a revius of yayin to the top on a plastic utensil, and you hold it in your hands. While you're making kiddush on the plastic utensil, holding in your hands, you have in front of you the bottle that should also be full as much as possible. And you have in mind, I'm making kiddush on the recyclable utensil, on the disposable utensil, but I'm having in mind that just in case lahalacha it's not kosher, then the kiddush should be said on the bottle of wine in front of me, because the bottle of wine has in it at least three ounces.
One person make it out of the same bottle.
Yes, of course, yes. Why not? But you should then also drink a little bit from the kais, and then you should pour. Don't drink from the bottle. That's by barak. You should pour from the bottle of wine a small amount and drink from that also. So manavshach, if we hold that disposable is not kosher, I made kiddush on the glass bottle of wine. So why don't you just make it on the glass bottle of wine? Because it's not bakovedik. It's not bakovedik to make it on a glass. You don't do that. That's not the way we do things. But it's more kosher. So you have the glass bottle of wine in front of you, and you make kiddush on the disposable. And then you drink from the disposable, and then you pour from the bottle of wine a small amount, just a small amount, and you drink from that. And then for sure, without any question, you will yotze your kiddush. It's not l'chatchila, because there are other issues over here, but it is a solid solution for those that are machbit not to make on the disposable. Some people like to combine all the coolest together. They'll take a disposable cup, and they'll fill it up with Coca-Cola, only halfway, and they'll make a shahakol the chamar medina, Coca-Cola's chamar medina, on a plastic, on a disposable paper cup, and they don't even fill it to the very, very top, and they don't even pick it up. What is the most b'dievid kiddush you can possibly make for Shabbos morning? Shabbos morning, you take a paper cup, you put it on the table, and you fill it up halfway with Diet Coke. And you don't pick it up, and you say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nieh Bidvaray, and you drink a teeny mashal. You've just basically utilized every single leniency in the world to be yotze your kiddush. You didn't hold it in your hand; it's not filled to the top. You didn't use yayin; you use a questionable chamar medina, and it was a disposable utensil. You've utilized every single lenience. I've actually seen people do this. Disposable paper cup, fill it with a small amount of Diet Coke, leave it on the table, and don't even say the psukim. That's also a leniency. You should say at least the pasuk to indicate that you're making kiddush. You don't even say alkein. You don't even say that. You just say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nieh Bidvaray. I didn't pick it up. It's not full to the top. It's a question. It's chamar medina, which is a kula, and it's a questionable chamar medina, and it's a disposable cup. You utilized, and you didn't say a pasuk to indicate that it's lechavod Shabbos. You've utilized every single leniency in the book in order to be yotze your kiddush by day. Okay, you can't say you're not yotze, but it's not the way a ben Torah would make kiddush by Shabbos day. Okay, have a wonderful day. We don't have a minion.
Yeah, so the other, we don't have a minion.